Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Today we are going to learn the 21st shiur of Sefer HaMitzvos, as it's divided up in parallel in accordance with the study of Mishneh Torah, and that corresponds to chapters 3 and 4 of Hilchas Kriyat Shema, the chapters in which the Rambam discusses the halachic obligation of reading the Shema twice daily, and then the mitzvah of prayer, Hilchas Tefillah, we begin. So, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, as we learn in the Shir Chaf, in the 20th segment of study of Sefer HaMitzvos, is something that's incumbent upon each and every Jew to recite the Shema in the morning and in the evening. In the second half of Mitzvah 10, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of reading the Shema has to be done in its appropriate time. In fact, if one does not read the Shema in its appropriate time, he is not performing the mitzvah of reading the Shema at all. He is only kikora batorah. It's like he's reading verses of the Torah. There is no mitzvah to read the Shema, to recite the verses of Shema anytime during the day. Only in the early morning hours, the first few hours after the sun rises, and only in the evening when night falls. Very interestingly, when the Rambam talks about getting children used to doing mitzvot, which we call chinuch, a Torah education, the Rambam says that even though ktanim are pturim mikriya shema, even though children are exempt from reading the Shema, milamden esaktanim likrota beonata, we teach the children, we encourage the children, not only that they should read the Shema, but they should read the Shema in the appropriate time. And this is a very important mitzvah that represents Kabbalat Olmach HaShemayim, and we even have blessings that our sages instituted to be recited both before as well as after the reading of Shema. Those blessings were instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah chooses the word Ezra u'Bet Dino. And the mitzvah finishes off with the following notion. Shema is entirely time-bound. The mitzvah of davening, the mitzvah of prayer, says the Rambam, is not time-bound. However, just as the Torah placed a certain time in which the Shema should be recited, so too, kach nosnu chachamim zman letvila. The sages are the one who instituted this notion of times in which we pray. That there's a prayer called shacharit, and you pray that in the morning, and a prayer called mincha, and it's prayed in the afternoon, and then a prayer called arvit, which is prayed in the evening. This is something that the rabbis instituted. In other words, zmane hatfila, the time of tefillah, and there's something called zman tefillah. You can daven shacharit b'di'aved if you have no choice, if something extenuating happened, you can daven until midday. But ideally, you're supposed to finish at a certain time. And that time, of course, varies with the timely hours. This is not min haTorah. However, the Rambam insists, the mitzvah of tefillah atzma, the mitzvah of prayer itself, he min haTorah. This is a biblical mitzvah. Something that's required, as we will explain. And we're learning now the 10th mitzvah. We're going to go back and soon learn the 5th mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of prayer. The Rambam, in his writing of Sefer HaMitzvos in Mitzvah 10, refers back to what we will learn in a few moments. The Chachamim tiknu lazmanim. It was the sages who instituted specific times for davening. V'zehu amoram, this is the meaning of what our sages say in Masechet Brachot on page 26, tfilot, kineged tmidun tiknum, that the sages instituted that the prayers should correspond to the sacrifices. There's a morning sacrifice called tamid shel shachar, there's an afternoon sacrifice called tamid shel bein harbayim, and then there was hekter chalavim ve'varim, whatever didn't get taken care of during the day was burned at night. Correspondingly, we daven arvit, we daven ma'ariv. Kiloimar, in other words, says the Rambam, tiknuhu zmanehem. We established their times bizmane ha-hakrova at the time when these sacrifices were brought. And this mitzvah, he says, is one that only males are obligated in. A woman, of course, may do this if she wishes, if she pleases, but she is not obligated to recite the Shema twice daily. Now, this notion that tefillah is keneged tmidin, that it corresponds to the sacrifices, is in and of itself an enigma, because the very same statement, the very same part of the Gemara that talks about this idea of the sages establishing tefillah also says Avraham tiken shacharit, and Yitzchok tiken mincha, and Yaakov Tikkun Arvit. So each of the patriarchs established one of those prayers. So how could we say that the sages came along many years later and they established the times for prayer? And there are many answers. The Noam Elimelech once explained it simply. He said, without a question, the Jewish people were always, always, from the beginning of time, davening three times a day. And the truth is that there is scriptural proof for exactly this, because it says in the book of Daniel that Daniel woke in the morning and he threw open the windows and he prayed facing Yerushalayim, Kimo mikadmat dana, which means as he always had. So if the fact that he makes that statement as he always had indicates that Jewish people were not only doing it in Bavel, but they were davening, they were praying already earlier in the land of Eretz Yisrael itself. So the Noam Elimelech says there's a certain spiritual energy which is accomplished only with the Korban Shel Shachar, and a certain impact and effect in the world that's accomplished only through the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, through the afternoon offering. The sages instituted that prayer should now take the place of the sacrifices as well. As well. It means there was prayer before, but the prayer did not take the place of the sacrifice. It was not in lieu of the sacrifice. It's a mitzvah called tefillah, and the prayer is very important, but it didn't take the place of something else. Now, prayer must compensate both for prayer, a biblical mitzvah, as well as for the mitzvah that's missing. This is the prayers that we recite corresponding to the korbanot, to the sacrifices, even if they're the same prayers. It could be the same prayer. It's like, God forbid, there's an orphan. And now the father says, now I'm the mother and the father. But you're still one person. He says, yes, but now I have to do different things. Now I have different functions. And it's Rahmanul Latzan. We should never know. To raise a child alone is much more difficult than raising a child with two parents, right? Because you have to be two people. And there's a certain energy that's feminine and maternal, a certain energy which is masculine. And you have to balance both. So a woman is a widow, God forbid, will have to balance both. Or divorced makes it much more difficult. But some people succeed anyway. Much more difficult, but they succeed. You know, God gives a pekel, he gives you whatever business, what he gives you, and you have to deal with it. But it's possible for us to conceive of an idea which at once represented only one dimension, and then because of a tragic event or because of an extenuating circumstance, now that same institution or notion or idea or ideal has to take place of something else as well. Which in simple words means that davening became much more prominent and important after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the sacrifices were taken away from this. The Rambam, very clearly in the Book of Mitzvot, emphasizes the idea that it was the times. He emphasizes primarily the times. He says the times are based on sacrificial times, and this was a link that the sages made even before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Ezra Obed Dino, in the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, they said that the prayer will correspond to the sacrifices. And then, according to this way of approach, this idea, later after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the prayers that corresponded to the times corresponded later to the sacrifice itself and took the place of the sacrifice itself in some way. Which is a beautiful segue and leads us into the second half of Shir Chaf Aleph, the 21st section or 21st lesson in Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is the Mitzvah HaChamishis, the fifth mitzvah of the Torah. He, that is, Hatzivu Yishanit Stavinu, the command that God gave us, le'avdo, to serve Him. To serve Him. V'nichbal hatzivui, this commandment is repeated twice. And the Rambam says, not only twice, come upon Him. It says, for example, in the third book of the Torah, it is written, v'avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. You should worship, you should serve the Lord your God. And it says in Devarim, in chapter 13, in the book of Deuteronomy, verse 5, v'oto ta'avodu, it is He you should serve. And we have a pasuk, another verse in the same book, in chapter 6, verse 13, which says, Va'oto ta'avod. And jumping forward to chapter 11, it says, Ula avdo. So we have all these ideas of serving God. And the word serving is used specifically because it's a permutation of the word servant or eved. An eved is a person who performs avodah. And avodah is something that denotes hard work, strain, effort. It doesn't come easy. There's backbreaking work. That's called avodah kasha. That's called extraordinarily difficult work. But work is not easy. Work, by its very definition, is something that requires a great effort. It's a strain. So even though this commandment is repeated in the Torah a number of times, And even though the Rambam says it could be understood as a tzivui klali, as a general concept, which God wants the Jewish people to serve Him. How do you serve God? How do you serve God? You put on tzitzit when you're wearing four corners and you wear a tefillin every morning and you're keeping the Shabbat, even though it's really difficult and you have a big deal to sign and you're hungry but you're not eating because it's not kosher. It's all service. And I'm trying to be connected to God and feel spiritual and doing the mitzvah of ahava, of love, and the mitzvah of yira, of awe, of reverence. It's all part of serving Hashem. It's a tzivui klali. However, the Rambam says, as explained in the fourth principle of Sefer HaMitzvahs, nonetheless, hariyesh b'yichud, there is also a specific, a particular application. Within its universalism, there is a particularism. And the particularism is, hu tzivui al hatfilah. This is a command with regard to prayer itself. As the language of the Sifri puts it, ula'avdo, to serve him, zo tfilah. This means the concept of prayer. Now this is just the very beginning of Sefer of Mitzvah Chamishi, and we have quite a few days in which we're going to be learning this mitzvah in great length, and I'll, you know, with God's help, try to share as much as I can about the details of this mitzvah, so we appreciate the mitzvah more, and we fully unfurl what the Rambam says in Mitzvah Chamishis. So before we go further in the actual body of the Sefer of Mitzvahs, I want to point out that the mitzvah is to pray to God, b'chol yom, every day. That's the mitzvah, the biblical mitzvah. We talked before about times. The times are rabbinic. Times are rabbinic. But davening itself, according to the Rambam, Nachmanides sharply disagrees, and we will discuss that. According to Maimonides, the Rambam, mitzvah of davening is itself a positive mitzvah, and he quotes Exodus 23, Shmot Chav Gimel, as the primary verse that tells you it is a mitzvah, va'avadatem es Hashem alekechem, that you will have to serve, so to speak, worship your God. Now the Kesef Mishnah says, what is tefillah? Why isn't it called avoda? And the Kesef Mishnah explains that the word tefillah comes from the origin, the root word of pelel, which means to judge. As it says, upillu elikim, or venasnu befililim. These are all expressions, judiciary expressions. So therefore the Kesef Mishnah says, hamit palel, the one who prays, mevakesh me'et Hashem plila u'mishpat, he asks God for judgment. He asks that God should do that which is appropriate. Kilomar, what is appropriate? Maybe I wasn't so good. Maybe I don't want to ask God for what's appropriate, because maybe what's coming to me is not what I want. So he adds the words that means, she'yishpetenu l'rachamim. Of course, God's going to judge us. We're trying to say, do it with compassion. Do it with mercy. Remember who we are, just the simple, you know, figures of clay. What is a person? Nothing. We have all our small minutiae and idiosyncrasies. And life is so confusing. So have rachmanas on us. As it says in the book of Yirmiyahu, Yisreini Hashem. Yeah, indeed, God should give me Yisurim. But he said, Ach ben mishpat, al ba'apcha. Come with judgment, not with anger. Soften the judgment. Give me what's coming, but don't give me exactly what's coming. Soften it up a little bit. Now, how do we know that this is something that's required each and every single day? Because it says Vavarta Hashem Alekechem. You should worship your God. It doesn't say once a month. It doesn't say once a week. It doesn't say once a year. So how often should you do this? Generally speaking, when there's something in the Torah that is a command, that doesn't have a specific day to do it in, like a Korban Pesach or listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, generally speaking, the Torah is telling us that we should do it on a daily basis. That's the general notion, the general concept of doing mitzvot on a regular basis. So if the Torah doesn't tell us on which day it should be done or how often it should be done, obviously it's supposed to be done on a regular basis, each and every single day. And there's those who add to this something very interesting. The end of the verse is, Uveirach eslach mecha v'esmei mecha, that God will bless, as a result, your bread and your water. Lach mecha emei mecha. Now, how often do people eat? As often as possible. Minimum, you got to eat once a day. People have to eat every day. Generally speaking, people don't eat every 3 days. People eat every day. There are animals like that eat once a week or once a month, but people eat every single day. So therefore, we understand that since we connect it to food, that it's self-understood that davening should take place on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And this is the mitzvah of the Avartem Es Hashem Elokeichem, mitzvah hachamishis, which we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, continue to explore in the days ahead.